Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 141. My name is Matt from MRPTechReviews.com. Thanks for joining us this week. And this week's episode, I'm going to call All Systems Go. The reason for that is because the last year at the school district that I work at, one of the things that I have been working on as a side project, which has absolutely become the main focus of everything that I have been doing here, is to build my student tech group and do something special with them that not a lot of schools have the opportunity to do. So last April, I tried to do something that I thought would be beneficial to the school district. And a good friend of mine, Emmett, who is also a technology coordinator at the school district here, we got together, we spent about 8 hours filling out an application for the ARISS project. Now, ARISS, A-R-I-S-S, stands for Amateur Radio on the International Space Station. And what ARISS does, ARISS is a worldwide group of volunteer amateur radio operators that form an organization and let students worldwide experience the excitement of talking directly with the crew members of the International Space Station. The goal is to inspire these students in careers of science, technology, engineering, math, and engage them with the radio science technology that amateur radio is. So it's a worldwide collection of volunteers, and if you follow the ARISS project, every few months there is a contact made with a local or a school somewhere in the world. Now, the application process itself is quite lengthy. It took us all day. At one point, I believe we suddenly realized that this was the application itself was more or less for the determined to complete. So it was quite difficult to complete the application, and I bet that's on purpose. But once you get through that, then there's a waiting period. Now, several times a year, they open up the application process, and the ARISS project will select a group of schools. So my school district was lucky enough to be selected as one of 7 schools in the country that will make contact with the space station. So I want to tell you a little bit about the program and what it has to offer and why I think it's important for a school district, even a small school district, to take chances and see if you can get something like this to happen. So the one thing that's really cool, students are going to learn about life on board the International Space Station, what it's like to explore Earth from space, and also think about the math that goes behind getting something on orbit. Give students an opportunity to think outside the box, real-life applications to some of the things that they're learning in the classroom, and sort of pulls everything full circle from all of their different classes into one major event that they can see that this stuff that they're learning actually is useful in real life, not just something that they have to learn to take a test on. So these amateur radio organizations, the space agencies in the United States, Russia, Canada, Japan, and Europe, they all sponsor these educational opportunities. And because of amateur radio being a hobby, you get a lot of volunteers that are anxious to help out and anxious to participate in something like this. Now, you can contact, as an amateur radio operator, you can contact the space station yourself. In fact, I believe it was last May, I heard about an ARISS contact, and we didn't really have our amateur radio station in our school completely set up yet. So I ran out to my car and I powered on my radio, and I could hear the space station as it was flying overhead. The contact, I believe, was somewhere in Pennsylvania, if I'm correct. So the idea is that believe it or not, the transmitters on the space station are not super powerful, but if you have one in a car or an HT, it's probably equal to or more powerful than the transmitter on the space station. So you could theoretically contact the space station yourself if you know the proper frequencies and you happen to catch them when they are on the radio. Now, more often than not, they only do this for school districts, educational purposes, science, space camps, that type of thing. But it is not unheard of for an astronaut to hop on amateur radio bands and talk with other amateur radio operators. So the astronauts themselves have to take the amateur radio exam just like anybody else would, and they have to get licensed in order to be able to use the equipment. So there's no special treatment just because they're an astronaut on the space station. They have to pass the exams, and it's actually a somewhat critical function on the space station as an emergency backup for all of the other things that they're using. So it does benefit them to practice the standard amateur radio call signs and such as they're on board the space station. So on top of inspiring students, and on top of the educational opportunities for students, it's a way for amateur radio operators to experiment with making contacts in space. The ISS is fairly easy to track if you have satellite tracking software. You can also track other satellites that are in space that are communication satellites as well. So this is a big experiment for amateur radio operators and such. When you really think about it, though, if you can imagine yourself being an astronaut on the space station, what is the most meaningful thing that they come across, or what is the most important thing that they and how they feel, is oftentimes they look out, they see planet Earth, and they realize that they are quite distant from their families. They're quite distant from literally the rest of humanity, and giving the astronauts a bit of time to just talk with other people other than their ground crew, it's probably a morale boost as well. So I'm sure that the astronauts really enjoy doing this with students because it gives them a chance to talk with other people that they don't necessarily get to do when they're conducting their experiments. Okay, so there is a worldwide organization. There's ARIS Canada, ARIS Europe, ARIS Japan, ARIS Russia, and ARIS USA. And each international team approximately donates about $5 million per year to support this program worldwide. So this is a pretty big program, even though it's made up of volunteers. Now, the website ARIS.org has lots of information and just about everything that you're going to need, whether you're interested in just listening to an upcoming contact. Most of the contacts are live streamed over the internet if they have the capability to do that. There's also, if you're an amateur radio operator and you use something called Echolink, the ARIS project has an Echolink conference that they will put out the ARIS contacts as well, so you can listen over your Echolink software. So basically you start off with the application process. Then if you are approved, which we were lucky enough to do, then the thing that happens, you have to choose. Do you want a direct contact, which is a link between amateur radio stations at your school district and the space station, or something that's called telebridge, okay, where you will actually phone in to an amateur radio station, ground station located somewhere nearby, and then the radio link is established with the ISS. So our original route was going to be direct from our amateur radio station at the school to the space station. We have three stations set up, and they're all very nice stations. They work really great. The only thing that we didn't have was we didn't have an antenna rotor that would track the space station as it was flying overhead. And to us, that wasn't really a big deal. But to the ARIS project, it was. Now, the ARIS project on the website, they state that there is a recommended setup for contact. And they have a backup station for contact. So we had three stations, so we weren't worried about the backup. And but the problem was their recommended setup was more of a mandatory setup. There was no flexibility in what they wanted. And that was a little unfortunate. And we sort of bumped heads a little bit in the very beginning about this. So their recommended setup, we went out and we found a few people that could help us out. And we actually got an amateur radio station from the ARRL with an antenna rotor that we were all set to go and get. And we were going to loan it for a month and we were going to be able to make their contact that way. We ran into a few other snags. They wanted somebody who had experience in satellite tracking. Now, satellite tracking is not a difficult thing to do. Satellite tracking, you get the satellite software, plug in the coordinates, and once you learn the software, it's just like any other piece of software. It's a learning curve. You can very easily learn how to do it, and your antennas will track with the satellite as the rotor is moved. So now at the school district we have four ham radio operators. Two are technician class, one is a general class, and I have an extra class license. So between the four of us, we would have been able to figure this out. But in the long run, what we decided to do is we decided to go the second route, the telebridge route. And so there would be a much easier contact than anticipated. So in the long run of things, it would be much less stressful. And so we decided to do this probably back in January of this year. So the next thing that happens, you have an equipment plan that you have to set up. You have to tell them exactly what you're going to use, how you're going to use it, and what your setup will be. And that needs to be approved. So there are a lot of requirements, okay? And on top of this, what happens, you have to also submit an educational proposal, which basically tells you that you're not just doing this to talk with astronauts. You're going to do STEM-related research in your school district. You're going to do study topics, space technology, space exploration, space research, learn about communication, wireless technology, radio science, all those things in the process of a few months. So we had other teachers sign letters of interest. Our technology teachers did rocket launches. Our science teachers did a science fair for the first time this year in grades 6 through 8, I believe. And all around the building, we encourage teachers to take some of their curriculum and tweak it a bit so that it would fit the space station contact and help students learn about it. So this is like a whole district-wide thing at this point. So after you submit to your proposals and your equipment planned, your ground station recommendations are approved, then basically there's a few other things that need to happen. And so we're now doing this telebridge contact, and Aeris Project was kind enough to send me a JK Audio Innkeeper PBX, which is a $500 box. It's about 6 inches by 6 inches. And basically what it allows to pipe a phone line into this box and output it through a PA system. Now, if you listen to last week's episode, I mentioned that we got everything working in our auditorium. And the only problem is that once it was going through the PA system in the auditorium in broadcast mode, we could not get the voice. When we talked to our microphone, the person on the phone could not hear us. And that's a big thing that we needed to overcome. So it's been probably about a month of me working on this, trying to figure out exactly what the issue was. So back in January, our school's technology grant went through and we had upgraded our sound equipment in the auditorium. So we got a new Presonus Studio Live 24 Series 3 mixer that can be controlled wirelessly with an iPad. We got all new main speakers. And with that, we also did some new wiring. We upgraded the wiring in the auditorium to 12-gauge speaker wire. so that it would get rid of some of the older wire that was in there. So we overhauled our whole sound system in the auditorium. So there's a learning curve of the new equipment, making sure everything is working correctly. We also got new amplifiers for all the speakers, all QSC speakers, QSC amplifiers as well. And so it's a matter of trying to figure out, okay, what's this issue? So in our auditorium, we had a phone line set up for this contact, and we have a digital phone system. And basically, there was all sorts of different little points where something could have failed. So to give you an example of how this is set up, so we have a white Innkeeper PBX that you plug a microphone into, and the audio is piped out of stereo out into a Scarlett, Focusrite Scarlett 2i2. From there, it is the signal is split. One goes to my MacBook Pro, which will live stream the event using OBS, and we have three different cameras set up. The line outs of that Scarlett are pushing the audio out to the input channels on a SoundSnake, which go to our mixer and then outputted to the main speakers. So everything I mentioned as was going was working fine, except for this one problem: talking through the mic in broadcast mode would not be heard. So it could have very easily been something simple as the aux send in the mixer was muted, or I had plugged in an input into the mixer into the wrong channel, or the volume was turned down on one of the inputs that I didn't see. Or it could have been the digital phone line system that had to have been opened up from our company that manages our digital phone lines. They had to activate the phone in order for it to work. Maybe something was not activated that needed to be. And so we could get a dial tone. That was a good sign. And this little box was supposed to work with every type of phone system except a princess phone, which is, if you don't know what a princess phone is, where on the handset of the phone, the numbers, the keypad is on the handset, not on the main body of the phone. So we knew that princess phones were not going to work. So we looked around the school, we found a phone, and it was supposed to work with every type of phone. So that wasn't the idea of a failure point for us. And so we could get a dial tone, we could call out. So it seemed like the phone was working correctly. So after several attempts, and you may notice over the last few weeks, I've been on the YouTube channel, the MRP Tech Reviews YouTube channel, testing the live stream. And maybe I'll put the live stream, last live stream test in the show notes, just so you can see what our setup is going to be, because it's kind of a neat setup. And so basically the live stream worked, the audio was really great, and through process of elimination, it basically narrowed it down to a few things. The Innkeeper itself was broken, and that function just was not working correctly, and we needed to get another box, which luckily they did have an extra one that they could send us. It just would be a few more days before we knew for sure whether or not it was actually working. So the other choice was the digital phone system. Was the phone system blocking the signal somehow? The last possibility out of all the other checks that we've made is the phone itself. Was the phone actually not allowing the signal to get through? Now, after trying to make several phone calls to the Aeris project, it just, we never really lined up. It was always leaving messages and emails. They're very good about getting back. It's just we were trying to get phone calls lined up. And the times that I had during the day to work on this didn't really line up with other people's schedules. So I happened to look at the back of the box of this Innkeeper PBX, and I saw a tech support number, and I called them and confirmed that I had everything set up right. I'm pretty good with sound equipment. Not perfect, but I'm pretty good with it, and I know how it all is supposed to work. So we confirmed everything was set up right. And then at the very end of the conversation, he said, it's very possible that your phone is just not compatible. And that confirmed my suspicions. So immediately I went onto Amazon, bought a I believe is a $30 phone with a handset, with a number pad on the main portion of the device, and overnighted it to the school. And it turned out the next day we were expecting about a foot of snow. So I was expecting a snow day. So then I had to wait all over the weekend. Basically, we had an early release that day and the package didn't arrive yet. So I had to wait all weekend and just got back to school this past Monday and plugged the phone in, and immediately everything just worked. So finally, after all these this past month of frustration, we finally have the technical resources and the technical bugs all worked out, and everything is working just great. So by process of elimination, we figured out what the last issue was. So I'm pretty determined on a lot of things, and if something gets in my way, I don't just give up on things. So what happens is I usually go in like a focus mode where that becomes my drive, is to figure out what issue this is and why is it doing this. Even if I don't know exactly what it's supposed to do, I usually have a drive of trying to overcome this and trying things, trying something different. And again, process of elimination usually will get me where I need to be. So with the technical issues worked out, we tested the live stream. Everything worked great. Audio on the live stream was really good. And we had to make a few tweaks and trying to get audio video syncing with OBS up and where it needs to be. We're really close with that. So I have a few more tweaks to be made with that. But now, with all of that stuff out of the way, we're not using the direct contact with the amateur radio station. We're just doing a telebridge contact. Basically, we pick up a phone, we dial into an amateur radio station. They broadcast the single signal to the space station. Now is the fun part that starts to happen. So I spent the last few days collecting talent release forms for students. The students have to get permission to be able to have their likeness broadcast with NASA. And then putting together the question pool, we have to submit 20 questions that we get to ask over a 10-minute period of time. And also, we had to come up with a school story that is going to be shared with the ARIS project. Just more paperwork that that will be used over when we finally make contact the week of May 6th through May 10th. Now, so with all systems go, so to speak, with our project here at the school, now it's telling the kids about it, getting the kids excited about it. And for me, that was the most important thing. And that is probably the more meaningful thing for me, is having this experience for the students. So I was telling my fourth graders about this yesterday, and they were on the edge of their seats in excitement, and they really brought this whole thing together for me with their excitement. In the high schoolers, you know, high schoolers, they won't tell you if they're excited about something. Some of them will, but most of them won't tell you when they're excited about stuff, and they try not to act excited about stuff. But deep down, you know that some of them really are. And giving the students an opportunity to do this is kind of neat. So out of one of seven schools in the country, you know, these students are basically one of 300 million people in the country that get to do this. And not every day people get to talk to astronauts. And even if they don't like it, particularly right now, after the event is over, they will remember this probably for the rest of their lives. And so that's the real meaningful thing for me. So all systems go, we are ready to make contact with the International Space Station. And how it works is there's still a few more things we need to fill out. To about 24 hours before the contact, we fill out a 24-hour contact form just to finalize all the details. About a week before contact, they tell us, they give us a list of times that are approved, and we put in order of those times which ones we really kind of select. And as the week goes on, they approve a very specific time and date. And then the actual day of contact, we have several rehearsals with the students that are asking questions. And then we contact the ground station, and then contact begins. So it's been a long process. And even after the contact is made, it's not over because we have to submit feedback forms immediately after and go from there. But we're trying to make this a big event for the school. The media has been invited, local news agencies. We have some press coming today to write an article. So it's going to be really great for the students. And as I mentioned, that's the most important part. So I'll keep you updated as time gets closer about the contact itself. We're going to live stream it on my YouTube channel. And so the MRP Tech Reviews YouTube channel, just because it's all the live stream stuff is already set up and I don't need to have duplication of effort. So watch for a link the first week in May 6th through May 10th to pop up with a live link. I will probably put it on the website too if I have time to do that. There's a lot to this process, so I have to make sure I dot all my I's and cross all my T's, so to speak. So but I'll try to make it available for everybody to watch afterwards if you're interested. So it'll be it'll be a real fun thing. All right. So the last thing I want to mention in this show is, you know, most people give up when things get really difficult. And what I've learned over the last several years is that if you push through that difficult time, you are going to be successful. You may not get exactly what you're looking for, but success comes by pushing through those difficult times and by figuring out in small steps, process of elimination, not trying to stress about it. And I can't say that I haven't stressed about this, but trying to keep your cool and try to keep your focus on what is the meaningful thing here rather than all of the stress and exhausting things that you have to go through. So push through things, you'll get through it, and then you'll reap the rewards eventually. So I could say all this, and then it could come May 6th, and we could fail completely. And you know what? It's a giant experiment. If it fails completely, I did everything I possibly could to make it a success. So I'm okay with that too if that happens. So on that note, I'm going to stop here, and thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you next time.